Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? The sun is shining. It's a Monday. The Astros have won. All is right in the world? Maybe not that far yet, but at least it's a step in the right direction. Nick is here. Barry's here. Yours truly is here. So that means all the usual suspects are present and accounted for. Along the way, we might have a couple persons of interest.
Yep.
At least one.
Oh, do tell.
Yes. A man that will never be allowed to ride roller coasters in this town, but at the same time still can carry his weight and is a known name. Charlie Pulillo will join us at 1:30. So that should be fun.
What do you mean by roller coasters? I just stir that pot. Stir that pot.
You know
pot.
Exactly what I mean.
Okay. I feel like the short jokes are just beginning.
That could shorts be a, that or could the be a short theme. Jokes?
Is he wearing shorts?
Yes.
Oh, well, there's two. There you go.
I already told you about the tennis shorts. But Charlie will join us at 1:30. We've got plenty to get to. A lot happened since we all convened for the last time last week.
Yeah. Can I just bring up one thing and then I'll get out of the way?
This is your segment anyway.
Just one thing. Because I know we've got a bunch of stuff. We've got to talk the Astros trade.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Clippard.
Right.
At some point, we're going to mention or talk about what's going on in our country. Mm-hmm. And have all that. And we've got baseball and we've got NFL. But.
Okay.
Before we do that, we have to talk about something I saw yesterday at the grocery store. And it was pretty tragic in my eyes. I saw a man, a grown man, an adult male, over the age of 50 at least, and his wife wearing matching clothes.
They still do that?
Same top, same shorts, which you have to question, so did she buy dude shorts? Or did he buy chick shorts?
Now, did you tweet that or did El Jefe?
I tweeted it.
Okay, I saw it.
Yeah. So they wear matching sky blue, powder blue t-shirts, matching blue plaid. I even think their chanclas matched. Their sandals, I even think those matched. And I ask you guys, where are you not only on matching outfits? Because I feel like this lady, like that couple, right? Like that duo. That's one of those shared Facebook pages, you know what I mean? Where it's like Frank and Linda Wright, yeah. You know what I mean? Like he can't have his own Facebook page. She created that for him and for her, but he never uses it. Like she pokes, hey guys, this is Linda. Frank said to tell you, you know what I mean? Like he doesn't get
well,
to go on Facebook.
Well, she can police him that way.
Well, of course that's why, because she can control him.
Right.
Like I said, when I posted it, I think I put it on Instagram. But I said, like, this is the woman that when you're out to dinner, she points out all the stuff you like on the menu. You know what I mean? And then you kind of feel like you're like, she's like, look, Frank, they have zucchini. You love zucchini, Frank. You should get the zucchini. And Frank is just like, yes, dear. Like, he's not arguing. He doesn't want to argue.
See, my whole thing is I do me. So you guys know this. A lot of people give me a hard time for this. But I always match whatever I do. That's just me. But I'm never taking it to that level. And if I did, first of all, I love Lisa because she wouldn't do it either. But at the same time, that's just not, that's, I mean, maybe when you were in high school and you were dating, but even still,
what?
I wouldn't be on board with that. What if you're just married? No way.
One sweater says just, the other one said married.
Well, for maybe a day or two because his and hers
right after
or
the wedding. That's
you
it.
Would do that, Nick?
I don't know. Like, Lisa
I would never rock that. I would never.
It depends how whipped I am. I don't know. I might be. I don't know.
Well, that's a good point, but I don't think there's. Well, I'll try to keep this clean because I know Charlie's coming on at 1:30. I don't think there's.
You got time?
There's no out there that could make me do that. I don't. There's no. There's nothing that would be like, you know what? You and me, matching outfits. Let's do this.
What about matching colors?
On accident, I've done that with my wife before. Where she's getting ready and I'm getting ready in separate closets. And then we walk out and we're both like wearing navy shirts and jeans. And it's like, all right, I'm going to go change real quick. I'll do that.
The only way it's acceptable is you're going to a game. You're going to a Texans game. You're both wearing red, white, and blue or something like that. But it's not going to be an exact match.
Yeah, no. If I have on a blue polo and she has on a blue polo and we're both wearing the same tint of jeans and like white sneakers, nope.
I'm not going to admit on the air that I've done that before.
Okay, good. I'm glad you won't
I'm not going to tell anybody. It's just us three in this room, right?
Right.
It's just us. Okay.
Yeah. Now, Lisa had a tank top she wore for a long time that said Future Mrs. Blank. That was a power play on my part. You keep wearing that.
Okay.
But I didn't
good
have
for you.
To, I didn't have to wear anything
That's
like that.
Strong.
I like that.
That's strong.
Yep.
Way to put stake that, claim to
that
your...
That was one of the first investments she made that I actually went, yeah, okay,
you
I'm okay
climb
with that.
That mountain and put a flag in it.
That's right.
You wear this tank top, woman.
That's right.
You are mine. That's good, though. And you know what? It says something about you because she was proud enough to wear it. If I would have given my wife a property of Mr. Laminac tank, she would have probably used it to line the cat box and never worn it. Not one time.
Now, let me stress
There's
that
no
it
way
didn't
that...
say property of. It just
oh,
said
it didn't?
Future
oh.
Mrs.
Blank. Oh, I thought it would have said property
I
of Joel Blank.
If mine said property oh. of,
well, that's what
she'd
I would
have had a problem with it, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
But
property
she'll, but she'll,
of?
Yeah, but she'll rock a property of the Houston Texans shirt, I'm guessing?
No.
No? Okay.
Now, UCLA?
Now, did,
the
did
Dodgers?
You guys, yeah? Okay. So she'd have property of the Dodgers, but not property of Joel Blank.
I would agree. Okay. I would say that, yes, that's exactly what I would
what
say.
What is it with these strong, independent women these days? Jeez.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I mean, that
makes me sick.
I'm telling you, but it's true.
It
but
is.
Still, at least we're not like wearing
said,
matching clothes.
If I would have given my wife a future Miss Laminac shirt, she would have given it back to me. And was like, you could do better. And that's like, I mean, she's just not. So I'm proud of you and I'm proud of Lisa for being adult about it. Because my wife, there's no way. There's no way.
But, I mean, part of the deal for you would have to spell it right.
Well, I would have spelled, you know what I mean? Like, I would have had it made. Yeah. She just would have, she wouldn't be having it at all.
She did all the work. She found it. She bought it. She displayed it. She was proud of it. I was like, okay, cool.
Nice.
Yeah, there was something else, too. I when I saw the wedding pictures, there was something on the day of, a robe and something else, too, that said the same stuff. And I was like, yeah, I didn't have any of that.
But well, yeah, that's good.
I had a great time playing golf, though. I
mean, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah, we just did the guy thing.
Well, okay, I just
so
wanted
that
to
fired you up.
Yeah, I wanted to see where we stand on matching outfits because I just feel like there shouldn't be a grown-ass man out there married to a woman and not you know, like, you can't. You have to be independent, dude. Like, you have to be a man. And be like,
I'm everyone.
No. Like, you have to be like, I'm not wearing what you're wearing
now, Nick,
because I'm a grown-ass man
when
and I'm
you
refused
did it,
to do
it
that.
Was it your idea?
No, it was her. She kept, and it wasn't really like matching. Like, we had Adidas shoes. It was just close to the same color. It was like
a
navy blue.
White top. Like, you might have a button-up. She might have a polo or whatever.
Yeah. And I just went with it because she wouldn't stop. I really did not care. And it didn't even bother me that
much. She was a tiger in the sack.
Kind of.
Okay. Well, that's why you go with it.
There you go.
I'm not. Listen, any man that does anything because the woman is good in bed, I don't begrudge him.
But she could have.
I do not begrudge him.
Or just super hot.
Yep.
That's one of those things where you take it.
It's true.
You take it a little bit for the team.
But matching outfits is a little far.
Yeah. It's never been down like shirt, jeans, shoes. No.
Right.
It's never been like that.
Okay.
No.
Because like these people are holding hands and they're showing it off and they want everybody to be like, look at us. And I mean, if I saw it, I'd be like, what the hell are you people doing?
Yeah. And people were looking at me like I was in the wrong for taking a picture of them in public. And I'm like, no, if you go out like that in public and you hold hands with matching outfits on, expect to be on the internet. Expect for someone to take a picture of you and mock you on social media. That's just how that goes.
Like if you're at a party.
Or expect me to do it at least.
At least, you know, it's one thing if you're at a party, and even then, but at least you can go, oh, you're with so-and-so. Because you get, but at the grocery store, who dresses up to go to the grocery store?
I don't know.
We look worse than when we're going to the gym when we go to the grocery store.
So strange. I don't know.
All right. We got plenty to get to today, as Barry alluded to. Everything from pertinent news in the United States that was breaking over the weekend that's still being talked about that we will definitely address, as you know, like we like to do here. We are not afraid of these topics, and we will touch on Charlottesville. Matter of fact, with Charlie coming in at 1:30, pretty safe to say we can start at 2 o'clock?
I think 2 o'clock. I think people have stuff they want to say, they want to get off their mind, and I think we should devote the 2 o'clock hour to Charlottesville. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to talk about it for the entire 2 o'clock hour, but if you have something you want to say and you want, that's the time to do it.
Let's do it. So yep. 2 o'clock, we'll hit it. We'll dive into that. We've even got a little sound possibly on that. That should be add to everything. But along the way, of course, there's other things like Michael Bennett not standing for the anthem, saying he's been doing it for quite a while, but he's making a stand, and that'll rope into everything that we talk about from that regard. And also Beast Mode, who said he's been doing it forever, and there's video that says he hasn't, but he's doing it again now that he's back in the NFL. Also, your Astros, as we mentioned, not only did they win, they made a trade to try and bolster their bullpen. We'll cover that and a whole lot more. The Carmelo talks are back on, so we'll see where those are going and what the latest rumors are there and a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. If you want to join the show, 713-780-3776, HR&P Listener Line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter, at Barry is Funny, at The Producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K. We're the usual suspects. We'll be back with more right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, the usual suspects on a Monday here in H-Town as we continue to roll on with what should be a great show. Charlie Pulido joining us at 1:30 as we get CP into the saddle as he joins the Gow Media family and gets ready to roll. His show will start on the AM side Monday.
He is one of us. Yep. And I don't know if he's going to claim us, but he is one of us now.
You see, us to me is the usual suspects.
Oh.
U.S. But yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure that he's even going to claim us.
I don't think he's going to claim 97.5. I don't think he's claiming you and me and Nick. I think he's staying as far away from all of this as possible. I think he's maybe Granato.
No, he's going to claim Ken Hoffman.
Oh, yeah, well, for sure.
And he's going to, with Culture Map, he's going to literally grandfather clause Barry Warner.
Oh, God, what and why? But maybe Granato and Salisbury, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can see that. So I want to give my partner credit here. Because, and believe me, I had a seizure in the break trying to get this out of my mouth.
Hell is about to freeze over. What are you talking about? I'm nervous. I don't know what this is about.
Yeah, breaking news. Astros win.
Yeah.
2-1.
Yeah.
Barry said on the last Keuchel start, wait till his next start before you panic.
And it was tough
for me to do. But I did that. And I was very pleased from an Astros perspective and even from a Barry standpoint to finally get something right. He was dead on. The fact that, look, that was the Dallas Keuchel. I don't care how fast his fastball is because his fastball's never going to be overpowering. But his location was so much better. He was in control with every pitch, and it made me feel a little better about the entire process that's been going on with Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah, that was the thing. I mean, when I said it, when I wrote about it, when I talked about it, it was one of those things where, you almost have to ignore first start back because he didn't do much, you know, since what, May, I think they said? You ignore that. Then he had a couple of rough outings. You weren't sure if he was exactly 100%. Mm-hmm. But by the fourth outing, you should be getting back to the old Dallas Keuchel. And then if he wasn't, my point was, now you start to panic on Dallas Keuchel. But he comes out, he goes 6 2/3. He gives up one earned run, strikes out 7. The 3 walks is still not great. Throws 97 pitches. I think he would have gone longer, but I think they want to keep him. I think he could have finished the seventh. But
I
get it that, you know what, you're not going to be able to, you're probably not going to get this next batter in three pitches. 100 is your limit coming back from an injury. So they pull him, you know, with 2 outs in the seventh inning. And I'm okay with that because he also gets to leave on a positive note. Because, you know, you don't want to go in there and give up a bunch of runs and then blow the whole start.
Right.
Like that, like what's been happening with a lot of their starters. So, yeah, it's great to see, man. It's one of those, it's now you can build on this. And now they got to get McCullers. And I would say expect the same from McCullers when he comes back. Don't expect him to come back and be top 10 pitcher in the AL, Lance McCullers.
It's a month-long process.
It is. It's three or four starts before you really get back in that groove as a pitcher. So.
So on the other hand, and on the other side of the equation, for all of you clamoring for the big move, it's not another big move, but another attempt at bolstering the bullpen, which has been bad lately after being good for the first half of the season. But they went out and get, dare I say, journeyman Tyler Clippard, who was awful with the Yankees. But as we saw watching the Stros lose three in a row to the White Sox, he came in I think, two of those games and performed very well. In 11 appearances with the White Sox since the Yankees moved him as part of the Todd Frazier deal, he was 1-1 with a 1.8 ERA, two saves in 11 appearances, and looked a hell of a lot better than he did with the pinstripes on to the Yankees.
Yeah, he had a tough start, but this is a guy who, you know, hovers around 3 ERA for his career. He is a bullpen guy. They went out and basically they got another seventh inning or eighth inning guy in Tyler Clippard. And so that's what he is. So now you've got a couple of seventh or eighth inning options. You've got Harris. You've got Gregerson, Davinsky to a certain degree, and now you add Clippard. The thing I like about Tyler Clippard is his career ERA against lefties is 1.88. So he's kind of a reverse splits guy. He can go out there and get lefties out.
I was going to say he might be the guy that you wanted Liriano to be, but based on the fact that Liriano's been shaky, here's a guy that can eat up some innings and some at-bats, but can do it from both sides of the plate and can do it against lefties, though he's not left-handed, which is big. The other thing is, like you said, the bigger thing that I think people are looking past is this is kind of an experienced bullpen guy. Not a Liriano that's a starter that can make spot appearances in the bullpen, but we've seen how that's gone. This guy knows how to pitch in the bullpen. 59 saves in 11 seasons, all-star out of the bullpen with the Nationals in 11 and 14. So you know that you've got a guy that has experience coming out of the pen, which is important. And the other thing that's important is they really didn't have to give up anything per se that we know of because it was the infamous player to be named later.
Yeah. Or cash.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a good start, but it's certainly not the Verlander thing. You know, it's not another starter for them, but it does give them quality depth in the bullpen. So, you know, you hope he lives up to what his career numbers are. What I like about him is, you know, his whip, and whip is walk plus hits divided by inning pitch. So it gives you an idea of how often he's putting guys on base. If you can stay below 1-2, you're a solid quality arm, whether it be starter or reliever. And his career whip is like a 1.12. So that tells you he's a control pitcher.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He's not going to come in and walk a lot of guys. Hi, Chris Davinsky. He's not going to do that. Ugh. You know what I mean? He's going to get out there and he might give up some hits. He might give up some home runs, although he's only given up double-digit home runs in his career twice. So, you know, he's hitting at 7 for the year.
And
so
he's got good velocity.
Yeah. But it's a guy who, you know, at the end of the day, I think you hope comes out and lives up to his career numbers. Because Liriano is a guy that you thought was going to come in and do some things. It's so funny because I didn't think when they went and got him, there was no way in my mind that Liriano could actually be worse than Tony Sipp out of the bullpen.
I didn't think so either.
There was just no way. And then Liriano was like, oh, Tony Sipp sucks against lefties? Hold my beer. And I'm going to go out there and suck even worse. And he has.
Watch me not endear myself to the fans of the Houston Astros.
Yeah, so you hope that this is, you know, you hope that Luno is 1-for-2 in trades and this works out.
Because there's a couple things to get to here and a couple of topics that, you know, I had Barry Laminack on the head when I was watching this game.
Yeah.
But one of them was, aside from what Davinsky did, even though he gets credit for doing some things, oh my God, Ken Giles! I cannot breathe when he comes in a game. Dude is like all jacked up, fired up, but kind of got lucky.
He got a little mojo working there, but he, you know, he that play with Alex Bregman,
yep.
That was pretty lucky to keep that ball in the infield. Gurriel keeping that ball in
Gurriel
the infield.
Was
the
big
double
too.
Play.
Yeah, with the double play was huge.
So,
because that ball wasn't exactly like a Texas League blooper. It had a little speed off the bat.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing. For Astros fan perspective, I feel you. Because if you watched any other baseball yesterday and last night, and you saw what Chris Sale did, and the way he went about his business, and the velocity late in the game, and the strikeouts, 11. Okay. Corey Kluber of the Indians, kind of doing the same thing.
Kluber's a beast.
Yeah. See the pattern developing here? Top-ranked American League team, big-time horse on the top part of the rotation. I feel you, Houston. I still hope that they do something. I know you don't want to pay Verlander. He might be the only guy out there. But I think you got to go for it with this team. And man, oh man, I would love to see. Because now if you talk about Keuchel having to be a 2 instead of a 1,
yeah,
and you bring in a horse, now you're like, man, these guys are loaded.
I still think anyone that comes in, this is Keuchel's team.
Do you?
Unless you would have gone out.
Game one?
Well, yeah. Unless you would have gone out and gotten a Chris Sale. I think when Verlander comes in, I think it's Keuchel, Verlander, McCullers. I think you owe Keuchel.
Wait, was there ever any discussion of the Astros and Chris Sale? Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, that's
but
right,
I think,
right.
I think, yeah, a guy like Chris Sale comes in, he's your one. But Verlander, I think it's close, you know what I mean? But I think you don't want to disrespect Keuchel and what he's done, you know, winning a Cy Young and being here and all that. I think you let him lose it.
I mean, if he goes out and blows. That's disappointing.
If he goes out and blows a game or, you know, next year he comes out and he's struggling from the get-go, then, yeah, Verlander rightfully gets your number one.
That's just flat out disappointing.
Well, okay.
If he's number two. I'd put that on the back of my jersey.
Is it?
All right. CP joins us next. Charlie Palillo, new to the Gal Media family. Show starts on the AM side on Monday. Next Monday. But never too early to get a little Charlie Palillo in your life. So he'll be joining us next as a person of interest on The Usual Suspects. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back with more ESPN 97.5. Right now, I want to tell you about the good folks at Gallery Furniture, because Mattress Mac has been doing it in the Houston area for over 36 years. Now he has 3 locations convenient for everyone around the Houston area. Grand Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, Galleria at Westheimer and Post Oak, and of course the mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where there's no back order slips. It's not just a marketing slogan, it's a way of business. You buy and within 3 to 4 hours, you get the furniture delivered to your door. And while the delivery guys are there, if you want something taken away or moved around the house to make things more convenient for you with the new furniture, they'll do that. They'll take away the old stuff. They're here to help. It's all about customer service. That's the way they do it at Gallery Furniture. They're also speaking to the Astros, doing this great promotion right now, where if the Astros win it all, you get it all when you're talking about bedroom furniture. You buy an adjustable base, a Macapedic or Tempur-Pedic sleep set, and if the Astros win it all at the end of the year, you get it all free as long as you spend $3,000 or more. All those details are on galleryfurniture.com, but check out Gallery Furniture's wide selection in their showrooms of American-made, quality-built living room and dining room furniture, and of course, every kind of furniture for every room in your house. They've been doing it for 36 plus years for a reason. They want you to be return customers. That's why they try to take care of you before, during, and after the sale. Check out Gallery Furniture in one of their 3 locations now. Always sales abound and always great deals to be had, but they're always going to take care of you. And as Mac always says, they're always going to save you money.
Get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink. Go to culturemap.com. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects, and we have a person of interest. I already previewed it, but as all good things go, always good to have a good friend in the studio and a man that's joined the Gal Media family.
Empire.
Oh, right.
We say empire.
So the empire strikes back. Charlie Palillo back. We just found out in the break. This is the first actual time you're back on the air. Great to have you, sir. But, I mean, how's it been going?
Which end of this thing do I talk into?
It's been that long, right?
It's been going that well.
Joel, good to see you. Barry, good to meet you. And, well, I've been talking for 10 months, but just to a smaller audience. So I hope it's like riding a bike, minus the flying over the handlebars and skin knees part.
I don't think you're going to have a problem.
It's going
to be,
not.
Yeah, yeah. I think so. Obviously, everybody needs to know the slot. 1560 from 11 to 1.
11 until 1 weekdays will be the base, and then popping out of over here for
what Mondays we and Fridays.
Call it the fifth wheel segment.
It's weird for everybody.
Join you
it's
guys
great.
On
Mondays and
Mondays
Fridays.
Mondays and Fridays, and John and Raheel on Wednesdays.
Okay.
I think I have that close to right. But yeah, 11 to 1 over on 1560, and away we'll go.
Now, you're a baseball guy. So you've had to be – I know we've sat at games. I've seen you at games. I know, you know, we've talked about the fact that this town sometimes needs a kickstart in terms of its love of baseball and sticking with it. But because it's been a while, your thoughts on the Astros to this point, and, of course, now the disappointment with the fan base and Dallas Keuchel, amongst others, in not making any kind of moves to try and solidify maybe the one question mark on the team, the pitching staff.
Oh, so you're one of these guys who just slashes and burns. You ripping the Francisco Liriano acquisition?
Yeah, I am.
Tyler Clippard?
I'm okay
better,
with
that. Better.
Better. But
a bona fide Major League relief pitcher.
I think Clippard is kind of like a Band-Aid for what Liriano wasn't that he was expected to be.
And how many right-handers out of your bullpen can you possibly use unless Will Harris isn't going to get right? Luke Gregerson doesn't seem to inspire great confidence running him out. Obviously, you have Giles. Look, what we don't know is exactly what happened with the Zach Britton. We had a deal to get Zach Britton from the Orioles. Well, what exactly did you offer? Certainly, Peter Angelos can be a wing nut and may have just pulled the plug irrationally. Beyond that, were they even in on Jose Quintana? I mean, I've heard that Luno has been more passive than passive-aggressive because his hand was really good, and the Dodgers are obviously by far the best team in baseball. They're clearly better than the Astros top to bottom. But anybody can beat anybody else 3 out of 5. They can go Kershaw if healthy, Yu Darvish, and Rich Hill or whomever, and 3 out of 5, any team can beat any other team. So Luno's very mindful of the long term, that they want to be a perennial contender. But other than Kyle Tucker, they have no one in their minor league system who at this point should be untouchable. Because kids at A-ball, AA, it's largely a dice roll. So, sure, you'd have liked to have seen a piece to the starting rotation. But if Keuchel and McCullers don't get right, they're vulnerable against mediocre teams or lousy teams like the White Sox sweeping them last week. So get Correa back and hope you can bludgeon teams in the playoffs.
Now, how adamant were you following sports on your time off? Did you take a little break from it?
I've watched nothing.
Really?
Yeah.
You're lying.
Are you lying?
So the Astros are having a good season, you're telling me?
You're lying. See, I know you're full of it.
Yeah, no.
You've been doing this for how long, Charlie? How long have you been in sports talk radio?
28 years, I guess.
28 years. And you didn't do a podcast or anything I don't even know exactly what happened.
Off the grid, I guess, is what the cool thing is.
Yeah, yeah. So you did stay and you watched it.
Oh, yeah.
Because you know in this business, you have to watch everything and you probably have to record it and watch it twice on certain things like Texans games. Were you doing that kind of watching or was it more casual?
Well, from the get-go, we get into this field, or many of us do, when we realize, certainly in my case, at an early age, that genetically I was not a Powerball winner, so I wasn't going to get to play them. So if you get into a career track, that work has always blended with play. It's always been a hobby. So you may not have quite the same sharply hewn edge to want to be on top of every little thing, or if I had an alternate plan and I was going to miss a game that ordinarily I might watch, so be it. But it's just been fun, and I don't live and die with the Astros as an Astros fan, but it's been a remarkable season until hitting the skids the last 3 weeks to just follow along with that and admire their excellence. Going to fewer games, you know, choosing to lay low, but on my hiatus, sabbatical, whatever you want to call it, I wasn't going to, you know, just shut out the sports because for my life, it's the number one thing that I'm into on a day-to-day basis.
So how many offers did you get? Just ballpark it. 10, 15. I know you got offers. You had to have gotten offers.
I mean, without going too in-depth, since the one that matters is the one I took, but David Gowd over the years has expressed interest in working together at some point at a couple of different junctures, and so he was good enough to reach out to me. I don't feel like I'm talking out of school the day after the day, if you will. When Brand X decided to go its other direction, which was their company prerogative, and so be it. But you know, there can be restrictions at times, and I had not had a break of more than a week since college. It wouldn't have been the prescription I'd have written myself to get to it. But then I was in no rush after that. Before you know it, you get to the holidays. Again, not recommending it. But look, Joel, you dealt with a similar experience within the last year. I found I probably scored more free lunches in the first month to 6 weeks. I'm like, wow, these pity feeds are pretty good.
Yeah, they're not bad.
But you reconnect with a bunch of people and then do a little bit of traveling. And in my case, since I went away in October, before you know it, the holiday season's here. And you know, the Rockets had a hell of a season to follow. So just pretty much live life. And you know, you're not going to be as wired. And I'm not claiming to be an insider that at beck and call, I can speak to any general manager in the league anytime I want or anything like that. But you're not going to be as connected. But I will never stop following sports closely because it's who I am, I guess.
Well, I wasn't expecting you to find some kind of religious overhaul because that's not you. But I was expecting you to find Instagram, Snapchat. I was looking for the Charlie Pelillo Twitter account to go crazy. I was just extremely disappointed.
You thought
I'd
go crazy?
I don't want to put you in the same category as the grandfather clause, which is Barry Warner, in terms of his electronic and social media expertise. But I was just, you know, curious because look, so many people were clamoring. Where are you? What are you doing? I thought maybe a podcast, maybe something would pop up. But I mean, I know that's not normally been your style either.
Right. Some of which will evolve here without looking to throw dirt on where I was before. But there were a couple of reasons where I chose not to venture down a couple of paths doing some things that I will be more interested in doing here and will initiate podcasty and then probably a bit more of the Twitter type stuff. But I'm never going to go crazy with it because I'm not crazy for it, but integrating it into everything you're doing just makes sense in this era, especially launching something new like this.
We got to get you on Snapchat. That's what the kids are on now.
I won't hold my breath
on
that,
Snapchat.
They're losing like $2 billion a month.
I don't do it either.
Well, you know, it's where the kids are at, man. We got to...
You've always targeted the kids, Charlie.
I want an attention span of more than 9 seconds.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
They measure 15-minute intervals, right? And this PPM nonsense and what we do.
I read your article.
9 seconds.
I read the article in the Chronicle announcing your comeback. And one particular quote stood out to me when you said, I will not be...
Let me take a wild guess.
I will not be modernizing to do a show around phallic references or any similar sub-knuckle-dragging, lowest common denominator material. And my first question is, well, what are you doing on this show? That would be my first thing.
You were...
Okay. So this wasn't a choice. You're kind of being forced to come in here.
And I know Joel 20 years.
Yeah.
And well, you, I give the benefit of the doubt.
Well, that's your first
mistake. By the moment.
Yeah, that was your big mistake. You should never have given me the benefit of the doubt. But so I won't make you, you know, talk about all that again. But was it one of those things? Because I'll be honest with you, Charlie. I've listened to sports talk radio back when Joel Buschbaum was the only thing on the air on Sundays. All right, so I go that far back.
Yeah,
with my dad. I remember you and Rich Lord at Star 610 or whatever it was. So I've listened to you, you know, my whole, you know, life coming up. You and I could not be more different when it comes to sports talk radio, but I always enjoyed and appreciated what you did. How hard is it nowadays, like you said, no Snapchat, no, how hard is it to stick to what you are when you're getting pressure to do some things differently?
Good and fair question. Number one, the way I choose to go about doing a show is not curing cancer. It's not going to foment peace in the Middle East or anything like that, but being true to myself, my credibility, my own standards and so forth, my sense of humor in life is anything but G-rated. You know, I'm not a moral prude, if you want to go that way. But for doing a sports talk show, in terms of self-respect, respect for my audience, it's just the way I choose to do it. I also would add that when basically solo hosting a show, that does not lend itself to, sure, I think, going further out on the spectrum where you get the natural feedback or foil, agree, disagree, in terms of whatever the topical humor might be. There are many different ways to be successful. I would be dishonest to say that it didn't break my heart in what they chose to replace me. Obviously, it was not wildly successful. But it can be, and many places is, and will continue to be. That's all right. I think there's a large enough pie that you can go for your slice of it. And again, it was their company prerogative, and you have local decision making, and then you have corporate decision making where it's entirely counting beans. And so if you're thinking, hey, we can go younger, cheaper, hipper, cut salaries, do this, do that.
Heavier?
This is checkers, not chess. The radio business, we're all pieces on the checkerboard.
Right.
And so if they decide it's your time to get jumped, I got jumped.
You gave me that one, but then you didn't respond. I understand. By the way,
the subtlety of radio.
I give credit to the big man.
A quarter nod to you.
Other people reached out within that first day and a half, too, besides David Gow. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah, but you didn't offer me a job.
Well, because I didn't have that much clout.
Well,
I offered you lunch, but you had too many already lined up. All right, so Charlie's with us, and we've got another segment to go. But again, remember, Charlie's going to be a part of the Gow Media family, already is, and the show is 11 to 1, 1560 a.m. He'll be joining us on Mondays and again on Fridays for a half hour of the show. Already getting people that are lined up, want to reach out and talk to you a little bit. So if you do have a call or a comment for Charlie, we're checking Twitter as well. Charlie's not. 713-780-3776, HRP listener line. Call, text, tweet. You know how to get us. And we'll be back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assume you knew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, 1:46 in the afternoon. It's Barry, Joel, Nick, and of course, the person of interest is the man, the myth, the legend, Charlie Pulillo. Now a member of the Gow Media family, and a pleasure. He will be joining us on Mondays and Fridays at 1:30 to talk a little sports and other things.
We got a text, and we get, you know, I don't know if you're going to incorporate text into your show. I don't want to push any technology on you. I see that's a sensitive subject with you now.
And grab my rotary phone.
Yeah, I was going to say. And you're going to have like...
Leave myself a voice message.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can send carrier pigeon to Charlie, and then eventually that and smoke signals. No, but somebody texted the show and wanted to know, what is your new email? Am I missing an inside joke here? Or is this you take emails from listeners?
Yeah, no. Email, the IT folks are in the process of finalizing that, and the information will be disseminated as soon as I have it.
So you do. So that's how you a lot of times will interact with listeners, is via email.
I guess someone can send an email, and if it turns out, well, I can't. I don't know how to log in yet, but okay. I believe it will be cp@gowmedia.com.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Well, you can always get your tweets. At Barry is funny. We'll take your tweets and pass them on to you.
We could do that. I would totally. Yeah.
Nick is laughing right now.
Totally do that.
Nick gave Barry's Twitter account out last week, and
no, I don't see what you're doing. Stop that.
I didn't see it. I thought you'd pick up on it quicker than that.
My goodness. All right, this is already a disaster.
All right, so let's just catch up on some things. Texans, Watson, obviously the quarterback has been the number one issue of conversation for this team for God knows how long now. It seems like they got their guy. It seems like they got it right finally with the move they made to get this guy. How do you see this playing out? We've had our bets and things about when he's going to actually take the reins. But your early look at the Texans and the quarterback specifically.
I'm big into OJT, and I understand it's the most complex position in sport, blah, 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 blah. I am not a believer in Tom Savage. He's basically played football 1 year in the last five. And a couple times he's gotten a taste, he got hurt in about 12 minutes.
Yep.
So unless it's Savage by knockout, I would go with Watson immediately. I don't think that will be the case. I think Bill O'Brien, none of us likes to be told what to do. I think Bill O'Brien really dislikes it. Going back to when he lectured us all a couple of years ago, Houston, you should be proud of these quarterbacks. Before the first preseason game, he was speaking of Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett.
Right.
So, look, if Bill O'Brien does not facilitate Deshaun Watson's development this year now that he's running the whole offense, O'Brien's butt should be on the line with this. I mean, you're going through eight quarterbacks in 4 years. Hoyer played better football after he left here. Ryan Fitzpatrick played better football after he left here. I really think it should be get on with it with Watson. I'm fascinated, without knowing the inner workings of it, how staunchly DeAndre Hopkins is running it up the flagpole, that it's Tom Savage, it's Tom Savage. I just don't see it. To me, Savage is much more Brandon Whedon waiting to happen. Maybe hang around as a backup quarterback and retire very wealthy. I would be all in on Deshaun Watson.
I was going to say, do you worry about the message that it sends one way or the other for the football team? Do you feel like if you start Deshaun Watson that you're saying, hey, look, there might be some bumps in the road. We're not ready to win now anyways?
I just don't see how long Savage has been in the system means that he has this phenomenal grasp on it in terms of playing games against live ammo. I just think Watson's the more talented guy with what they gave up to get him. And whoever really was wearing the pants, right, there were the signals that, oh, Brian wasn't really into the Osweiler acquisition yet. Well, whatever. He failed to help him be worth a darn. And so if Bill O'Brien, the quarterback guru thing to me is mythology.
Oh. We've covered it ad nauseum. The fact that
he vaulted Brady to the next level. Nah, I don't really think he did. All right, he got one workable season out of Matt McGloin, and Christian Hackenberg was okay as a freshman. That's not exactly a sterling long resume.
He left New England, man.
They're in win now mode because 9-7 in a garbage division is not a great accomplishment. You know, their division championship banner should be the size of doilies for winning the AFC South. If Jacksonville is going to be a surprise this year, it's because the defense makes a leap and Bortles is not garbage. That's an opener. If you get lousy quarterback play, that could be dicey. And then you're looking at Cincinnati on a Thursday night and then at New England. 0-3 is way too doom and gloomy, but I wouldn't entirely rule it out. 1-2 would be disappointing if you lose either Jacksonville or at Cincinnati, because who thinks they're going to win against the Patriots at Foxborough? So Savage, Watson, if Watson starts and turns out to be over his head early, O'Brien's always had ants in his pants and changing quarterback. So if you take out Watson, it's not because he's a bust. It's just because you think right now Savage gives you the better chance to win. I just don't see any body of evidence that says Savage gives you the better chance to win over Deshaun Watson from day one.
And it's interesting because you touched on it. Because he came out of the Belichick school, O'Brien has won to speak little, if any, and there's not a whole lot of coach speak in the media or anything else. It's stick to the game plan. It's the whole, Bull Durham syndrome. You know, you're happy to help the team. Hopefully, good Lord willing, everything works out in the end kind of thing. Hey, we're just trying to get better. But yet he already in preseason, because of what you're saying and things that I've already mentioned too, about the fact that, look, Rick's safe. Rick Smith is not going anywhere.
He's a Supreme Court justice.
Yeah. And, I always say he's got a seat at the Thanksgiving and Christmas Day tables at the McNair household, so he's not going anywhere. But when you look at O'Brien, first thing out of McNair's mouth this year was, hey, we'll evaluate it at the end of the year. If he wants to be here and he does okay, then we'll see, where we are kind of thing. And it's like, wait a minute. I mean, if he continues to win, this should be a no-brainer. But it kind of goes back to what you were talking about, this whole quarterback whisperer thing, this whole, but he's been very outspoken about Watson already, which is surprising to me because of the fact that normally he's a rookie. Let's not even talk about him. Let's just make sure that he follows the playbook, gets to learn what he's supposed to learn, and, at the right time, we'll call on him.
I think overall, O'Brien's done a pretty solid job coaching the team his 3 years ago. But bizarrely, the area where he has come up shortest is the area where he's supposed to have his foremost expertise, this quarterback development. And if you're molding quarterbacks, and I know very little about the grades of clay, if the lump of clay is lousy, you're not going to mold it into something tremendous. But he hasn't molded much of anything going through quarterbacks left, right, and in between. So if it's not going to happen with Deshaun Watson, there's no reason to ever think it will happen with Bill O'Brien. And his scheme so complicated and so intricate and brilliant that none of his quarterbacks can totally grasp it. I think Deshaun Watson, again, with what they gave up to get him and pay off the Osweiler mistake before that, this is where the rubber hits the road if O'Brien's to be a longer-term tenured head coach here. But I think overall he's done a good job. I think he has full command of his team. He's a powerful presence. But going 9-7 and winning this division because the Colts have dipped and Jacksonville and Tennessee have been crapola for years is not any sort of top-tier resume.
So what are your feelings for their season? Are they going to win this division? Is 9-7 going to be their ceiling?
Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Jacksonville, but Tennessee's coming too.
Yeah, a healthy Mariota, I would say they're the co-favorites. I love what Jacksonville's accrued in terms of defensive personnel, but show me something better than 4-12, and especially with Bortles. And, man, if Andrew Luck's not going to answer the bell opening day, which seems up in the air, I think the Texans, they look 9-70 again, and that could win the division again, and then they'll go get drilled in the playoffs again.
Right. Well, okay, so we've run out of time as Nick's playing the music. That means, it's great to have you back.
I'll take the cue.
We're going to look forward to doing this because, as you mentioned, we've known each other for a long time. Barry's listened to you for a long time, so we'll love to pick your brain. But on top of that, we'll look forward to, with all this time off, the three hottest chicks you've seen in movies over the past couple of months, because I know you've had a lot of time on your hands. And one thing, whether you are a social media guy or not, is I know you can evaluate chicks. So I'm just going to expect by Friday that your homework is I'm going to have to get at least top 3 to 5 newcomers on the scene and the three hottest chicks in movies in the past 6 months.
Homework, the first day of school.
Darn right.
Thanks,
dang
Joel.
It. That's the way I do it.
Barry, enjoy meeting you here.
Welcome
Hashtag
back.
Hashtag thanks, Joel. Everybody blames me for everything. Thanks for being on board.
That's right.
All right, Charlie Polillo, Mondays and Fridays, 1:30, right here on The Usual Suspects. I'm sure before you know it, he'll go from a person of interest and be promoted just like that. We'll be back with a whole lot more. Don't go anywhere. This is The Usual Suspects. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You've been struck by a smooth
criminal. From Dave Tepper, Carl Dukes, Julie Takahashi, Jerome Solomon, and Fred Fowler, A.J. Hoffman, and John Granato, we celebrate 10 years of sports on FM. Thank you, Houston. ESPN 97.5.
These guys are the best at it.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1-pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to arrow hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.